Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We're back. Yeah, we're back with another episode of the Dixie Dems. It's the podcast from LeanToTheLeft.net that takes an irreverent look at politics in the South, as well as nationwide. So stay tuned.
Welcome to Lean to the Left, home of no-holds-barred commentary, plus interviews with fascinating people, some of them top experts, others simply with interesting stories to tell. You'll never know who'll show up at Lean to the Left. Now here's your host, Bob Gatti.
Hey guys, welcome to the Lean to the Left podcast and the February 2023 episode of the Dixie Dems with my partners Arthur Hill from North Carolina and Robert Thompson from Georgia. Arthur's communications chair of the Brunswick County, North Carolina Democratic Party. Robert Thompson is based in Atlanta. He founded Peach News Now and its opinion podcast, Got Damn Liberals. That's G-O-T, damn liberals. Me, I'm based in South Carolina, as you guys probably know, home of Senators Lindsey Graham and that Uncle Tom Republican, Tim Scott. Today, we'll take a look at what's happening politically in our three states, as well as nationwide to a little bit. Hey guys, welcome. Arthur, what's going on in North Carolina?
Not every citizen of North Carolina is running for president, like in your state.
But, yeah.
But we're still pretty active up here. And one of the activities that I took part in since we last met was trying to get our county chair elected to run the state.
Okay.
The incumbent was pretty well defined by her oversight of the last three elections, that where Democrats didn't do very well. There was thinking that there was time for a change. And we thought our guy was good for that. So that set up an interesting three-way camp, actually four-way. One guy dropped out. Campaign. And the election was last Saturday. And after 7 hours of Zoom chatting, we failed to win. However, the gal who won is also dedicated to change and reform in the state party. And even though she's only 25 years old,
wow, she
got elected, and along with a slate of just about equally young folks who are now going to run the state committee. And if they stand by their pledges, there should be a lot of changes coming, and hopefully there'll be some help from Raleigh to us poor beleaguered Red County folks down in Brunswick County. It's encouraging, and even though our guy didn't win, I'm glad that we got a reform candidate in. Meanwhile, in the state legislature, I think I mentioned in our last episode that the legislature was considering a new version of the infamous bathroom bill that plagued North Carolina for a couple, 3 years back about 4 or 5 years ago. But I didn't know what was going on. All I knew is that there was something afoot and it had to do with bathrooms. Found out since then that what's going on is not a bathroom bill per se, but with the the slim, very slim one-vote majority that Democrats have in the Assembly as far as veto overrides are concerned. The Republican leadership has decided that they're going to do away with the normal 48-hour warning that they give for voting to vote to override vetoes. And instead, they're not going to have any warning at all, which means, which means that if one of the Democratic legislator goes to the bathroom, they're going to call a vote that Republicans are. And it's causing a lot of unrest in the state legislature. The Democratic Party is thinking they're going to have to hold it for 2 years.
Do we need to send some toilet paper up there? What's going on?
Panics and shenanigans going on in Raleigh at the state level.
So that's their version of the bathroom bill, huh?
Yeah, but that was the bathroom bill. Yeah.
Or wait, I'm sorry. Do they need Depends? Maybe they need Depends more than toilet paper. You can actually deduct on your taxes now.
Oh, actually, if you follow the ads for various products like Depends, there's all kinds of new innovations coming.
There's another one. That's right.
Oh, man.
It's going to be pretty smelly in there, too. That's pretty sad.
That's a real pisser. Oh, that's the funniest one I've heard in a while. All right, you got anything else for us, Arthur?
Yeah, there's a couple of other bills that are going on that are a little bit more serious. Yeah. The Senate passed a parent's Bill of Rights bill that I think is going on, the same bill that's happening in a lot of state legislatures, that basically would require schools to report to the parents of kids who indicate LGBTQ feelings or concerns or whatever. And a lot of people feel like that's going too far, that the state law is already there to help assure that parents and their kids get together and talk about issues like that. But nonetheless, they're trying to make it tougher for a kid that is having a hard time to get help without having to bring in his family. The other one is the House has passed a law which still has to get through the Senate, but it tightens the restrictions on protest, basically, by increasing the penalties for rioters. They already have a law that's pretty stiff that was approved in a bipartisan measure last year. The governor signed it. But now Republicans want to make it even tougher. And so there's legislation to do that. I think both, I don't have any proof of this, but I think both of these bills generated statutes, the American Legislative Exchange Council, because it's pretty much the same things going on in a lot of other legislatures. And it suggests that this very conservative Washington-based group is trying to get tough legislation passed on both these fronts. But that's what's going on at the legislature.
Okay.
And we'll see what happens.
Okay. Robert, what's going on with you?
I'm still looking for the Republican plan to fix inflation. Have you guys seen or heard of it?
No, I haven't really.
They have fixed it. It's going away. It was.
Oh, it just disappeared. So they're a bunch of magicians, and it just disappeared.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then that makes sense.
It's part of the stew that they've cooked up in their cult.
Oh, okay. And does that include a new 23% to 30% sales tax too?
I think that's an ingredient that hadn't been added to the stew yet, but they're working on it.
Oh. I feel like the cauldron is just bubbling over. It doesn't feel like to me that this is helping a lot, but you know, that this is what they do. So similar here in Georgia, there, and this ALEC group, it's the acronym is ALEC, right? Is that right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
That stands for what?
American Legislative Exchange Council. There's a bunch of folks up in D.C., and they write model bills for state legislatures to approve. And they've done a lot of work. They're very conservative, very right-wing, and a lot of the Republican-dominated legislatures around the country are picking up on their proposals and just passing them.
Huh. Bob, it's a lot of copy-paste.
Yeah.
Advancements in technology, you can just write up a bill, send a Word doc, and just copy-paste and submit. And do we really think this time around it's going to work out any better? I don't know. But it's going on here in Georgia. There is a bill to say that should a young person come in and talk about transgender topics or anything like that, that the healthcare worker cannot recommend any sort of treatment for them. And so
Or the teacher, anybody, nobody.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact. They're required, if a kid does go and talk to somebody like that, they're required to tell
them. Which in conservative Southern America is a great idea. Yeah, said no right. one ever. So it comes back to this is what the Republican Party thinks is important. Oh, and by the way, Social Security and Medicare. If I'm not mistaken, the age for Social Security goes up to like 67. That was already put into place by Republicans. Does that sound right? So as far as I remember, the next age increase for Social Security takes it up to 67 for the full benefit. Does that sound about right?
I think it's close to that.
To look at the details, but let's remind everybody that Republicans did this to actually weaken Social Security.
Yeah.
It was Republicans that have this massive, when you guys actually sit down and watch any TV, how many times do you see a Medicare Advantage commercial?
All the time.
It's because Republicans decided to privatize Medicare and have that extra option out there.
Yeah.
And it.
Yep.
I don't see this going anywhere good.
And the interesting thing during the State of the Union address was all the Republicans denying that they've talked about sunsetting Medicare and Social Security. And they've all denied it, but they're on tape as endorsing it. They're on the record as endorsing just the same thing, if not eliminating it altogether. But in the meantime, they get you with little bits and pieces like the option we're seeing all the ads for now.
I was fun with the way Biden stuck it to him in the State of the Union over Medicare, I thought.
I don't know what it's going to take. I guess it's going to take people losing benefits. I don't know what else to prove to them. There's already another news story, not only just in Social Security, but also Medicaid coverage.
Yep.
And they're saying millions of children are at risk of losing Medicaid coverage starting in April. That's probably due to the COVID stuff expiring.
Yeah.
Republicans are not talking about that. They're talking about all these other things we're talking about here.
Let me ask you this, Robert. What was the reaction in Georgia to Marjorie Taylor Greene's goofiness at the State of the Union, where she was calling Trump a liar and yelling out and all that stuff?
In my circle of friends, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
However, in her ruby red Northwest Georgia district, they're all bitching about transgender children running around and all that. It's so unfortunate. It's so night and day and black and white. And you cannot find these people to come to the center of anything. It's so unfortunate.
Yeah. That's too bad. What else you got in Georgia there, Robert?
So it's not as big of a deal, but I think you guys can relate to this. It was very interesting to see that there is allegedly a bipartisan group that wants to bring the state and local option sales tax exemption. So if you might recall, thanks to Republicans, not near as many people can itemize anymore. And those that can itemize, they're typically going to be your middle to upper end on income. But one of the stick it to you is that Republicans did to mostly blue states was they limited that state and local option tax deduction to $10,000. So now all of a sudden there is a bipartisan group that says, no, we got to claw that back. But then, of course, are these same Republicans in this caucus for this salt tax exemption, are they there? Are they just going to blow it all out of the water and just go with the national sales tax? You tell me. It's confusing as hell. And it's unfortunate that John Q. Public, that they're going to spew this stuff, well, we're just going to take away all the income tax, but now we're going to have a sales tax. Some of them are just thinking, well, maybe no. If you do the math, it's a horrible idea.
You guys don't think there's really a chance of that, do you?
You just asked me about Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she's still in office.
What do you think there, Arthur? Do you think that this is a serious...
No, because obviously the proposal like that is DOA at the White House. But yeah. 2 years from now, if the Democrats lose the White House... Is there a possibility of that happening? The proposals like that don't tend to just die off at the end of a particular Congress. They survive and lead over to the next one. And so, is it possible in the next 2 years? No. But is it possible in 2025? Maybe. Or something like it anyway. I think it's absolutely crazy. Stop and think about the things that you buy. What if there was a 30% sales tax on a car? What would that do to the price of a car, which is already outrageous?
Yeah, incredible. You can go down the line to anything. Grocery.
Yeah.
My God. You talk about trying to control inflation. And then they pull this kind of crap. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. I guess most states don't have a sales tax on food, right? Is that right? Didn't used to.
In Georgia, years ago, it was decreased pretty heavily. The food here is not taxed nearly as high as other stuff.
Yeah, there are some products that are sold in the grocery store that still are subject to sales tax. I don't know how it breaks down, actually. But you know what? Here in South Carolina, we got a lot going on. We got two prominent Republicans challenging Trump. Nikki Haley, who just announced that she's running for president. She's pretty popular among some people in South Carolina. When she was governor, last night I was watching the local news. The newscaster who was supposed to be unbiased was all over Nikki Haley. Oh, God. It was disgusting, at least to me. Anyhow, she's pretty pop. But most of the Republican hierarchy, they've all endorsed Trump. So he's got to be considered the favorite for the nomination.
But so I was going to ask, Nikki Haley, Sarah Palin.
Yeah. We're going to get to Sarah Palin in a minute.
But which is, I don't know, what's your lesser of two evils?
Well, I don't know. I think I'd take Nikki Haley over Sarah Palin just because she's cuter. Sarah Palin, to me, I don't like calling people names and things like that. It's not nice to do. Well, she looks like a freaking horse. Looks like a freaking horse to me. Jeez, oh, flip. I'm looking at her and I'm going like, oh, my God. She was elected governor.
I'll tell you, Nikki Haley scares me as a Democrat.
Well, she should, because she sounds so nice and everything, but when you listen to what comes out of her mouth, she's right wing personified. And
yeah.
Then, of course, we got this Tim Scott, who thinks he's going to run for president. And he's nothing. I can't see.
And they have a story. Many Republicans may run for president, and most don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, what is Nikki Haley even doing these days? She's not the governor, right?
She's not the governor. She's not the. She's certainly not the ambassador to the United Nations, which Trump appointed her to, which is why she's not governor anymore, because she took that job. Henry McMaster got elected governor and then got reelected. And you talk about a right-wing nutcase, wacko, that's Henry McMaster.
So she just put her finger in the air and said, oh, I think I'll run for president this week.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. So anyway, there's a long way to go, but these two are certainly long shots.
I'll tell you what,
South Carolina put itself in a pretty good position to be influential, though, in the selection process, with the Democrats making it the first state in the primary season.
Yeah.
As a reward for turning things to Biden last time around. The Republicans, looks like they're going to be the fourth state to have a primary, and if that's the case, that'll put them up in the front end of things too. And I saw a story today that said that there's going to be probably a 3-week delay between when the Republican primary in South Carolina is held and the one prior to that. And I can't remember the state that would be prior to that, but there'd be 3 weeks there for South Carolina to be getting a whole bunch of attention. I think that it's going to be a pretty busy time in South Carolina. And politics is not the only news we have here in South Carolina. You know that. Stay with us after these messages for the rest of the story. We had a Chinese spy balloon here.
Oh, yeah.
It's all those Canadians coming down to Myrtle Beach. And
there are a lot of them. But anyway, we have this Chinese spy balloon. It was shot down. They waited for it to get off the coast before they took it down. And I've seen pictures of the debris, and it looks like just one gigantic plastic bag that they blew away. And now they're saying all those other ones that they've shot down were benign. They didn't have anything going on. They don't even know who sponsored them. That's ridiculous. I don't understand that. How is it they don't know where these things came from before they shot them down? I don't understand that. Well, do you guys?
If the object is traveling in U.S. airspace, is supposed to have a transponder that the FAA can see that tells them they're there.
Yeah.
And the Chinese didn't do that with the first. And I understand that there weren't any transponders on any of the other ones either. So nobody knew they were there. The other thing is that apparently the NORAD radar wasn't operated enough so that it could pick up objects like
that. Yeah.
Pick up missiles flying into the country, I guess, nuclear tipped missiles, but they couldn't pick up balloons flying at 30,000 feet. So now
the balloon is at 60,000 feet. And well, so yeah, when you fly in a plane, it's normally around 30,000 feet, half of that.
Yeah.
I'm no expert in this, but it was just something new. And also the Chinese have come back and said, we have those American balloons coming our way.
Yeah.
So I guess they were just standing at the border saying, okay, for every 2 or 3 of yours, we're going to send 4 or 5 back to you guys. So that those Canadians in Myrtle Beach have something to shoot at.
You guys watching and listening to this thing, I just want to remind you, don't rely on the material that we're throwing out here as being 100% factual. We're trying the best we can, but a lot of this is stuff that we think up. And of course, we all know that there were these balloons and all of that, but the details of these things are a little bit shady. I don't know. I don't want you guys quoting us and putting it in the New York Times or whatever. That's all I'm saying. Now, besides the balloons here in South Carolina, we have a couple other things going on that are nationally in the national news. And one is a court case involving the Tiger King star, Doc Antle. He's got a first name that I can't pronounce, but they call him Doc Antle. And he's the owner of Myrtle Beach Safari, and he's been indicted on charges related to wildlife trafficking and money laundering. And he faces 20 years in prison if he's convicted. So that's a big deal. And Myrtle Beach Safari is a pretty popular destination around here. Although I have to say I've never been to it. This guy is on that Tiger King show, or was on that Tiger King show. Anyway.
Is he buddies with the Murdaugh guy? That's his trials going on down the low country?
Murdaugh. Alex Murdaugh. Is that what you're talking about?
They sound like birds of a feather, I'm just saying.
Birds of a feather. Alex Murdaugh, he was once a prominent lawyer here. He's on trial for killing his wife and son. And as the trial goes on, more and more stuff comes out about his financial shenanigans. And I think this guy is in serious deep shit trouble.
Now he's just going to run for president.
There you go.
It's a one-lane road, South Carolina indictments presidency, and there you are. So.
There you are. But you know what? This guy, he comes from a very well-known and powerful political family. His father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, all three, served as top prosecutors in their area of South Carolina. So I guess you could say that Alex Murdaugh is the black sheep of the family. I guess you could say. Because he's definitely in deep shit trouble.
Sounds like the perfect Republican candidate to me.
Yeah.
A perfect candidate.
Yeah. Didn't he also steal a lot of money from his clients? Aren't they accusing him of that too?
Yeah, all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah. If he actually did kill his wife and his son, I don't know. That's really.
Speaking of stealing money, in Georgia, are they getting ready to indict Trump? Is Trump about ready to get indicted in Georgia?
Oh, tomorrow. So we are recording the day after Valentine's Day, the 15th. The last I read, the 16th. There may be some more information. So we shall see.
But, oh, wow.
But no indictments.
We shall see. Stay tuned.
Okay.
In other words, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
The point I was making a little while ago when I told you guys not to pay any attention to the details. Because, shit, we don't know. We're just guessing. On this stuff. Oh, man.
Marjorie Taylor Greene told me that he was not going to be indicted.
She told you that?
She told me. Yeah, I called her up.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I got her.
She called me up, wanted to be on our show, and I told her no.
Oh, wow. That would be great.
But she also wanted to debate AOC. Can you imagine AOC and Marjorie in a debate? There would be snatching of hair, throat.
snatching. I like that word.
Yes.
Yeah. Snatching. Snatching of.
And then what about this, the
committee that's investigating the weaponization of government. I'm writing our next newsletter, and I'm comparing this thing to the old House on Un-American Activities Committee.
Yeah.
Bob and I are old enough to remember that. I'm not sure Robert is, but I think there's some parallels here. I think there's going to be a parade of innocent federal employees going on national TV and getting blasted by Jim Jordan.
Yeah. Jim Jordan, don't get me started on that guy.
Yeah, that's for sure. I met him one time on Capitol Hill. I had to go to a meeting. One of my clients when I had my communications company was the Convenience Distribution Association organization whose members distribute products to convenience stores, candy and tobacco principally. Anyhow, they had their day on the Hill thing, and where they come to Washington and meet with members of Congress and their staff and whine and carry on about too much taxes and too much this and too much that. Anyhow, they had a meeting with Jim Jordan, and I went to the thing, and he was sitting there behind his desk in his, without his jacket on, and his short, in his short sleeves, like he always does. And it just went a jerk. I just have to say, just a jerk. So anyhow.
I think he revels in it.
Yeah, I think he does too. I think he likes being disliked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, when I was younger and I had to, when I started my journalism career, I might have mentioned this last time. I used to have to cover school board meetings and county council meetings and things like that. And there was always some politician, and it was almost always a Republican, who was like that, just disliked by everybody. And they wouldn't shut up, and they kept whining about all the little nitty-gritty things that nobody really cared about. It just always seemed to be somebody like that, and that's Jim Jordan to me. I don't like the guy.
Did you happen to interview a guy named, is it Jason Markley? I know that. Who? I interviewed him. Jason Markley, I think was his name. Maybe you want to sit down, but he deals with mental health a lot. And we didn't quite, maybe I need to have him back on, or maybe we'll bring him into one of these discussions. But these folks that are just so extreme with their political stances and you can't reason with them, there's something mentally going wrong there. And he was a good person to bounce some of these questions off. So.
That sounds like somebody we might want to have on the show if you want to invite him.
Yeah, I'll have to go back to my notes and find his info.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I don't have anything else, you guys. Got anything else to?
I'm tapped out.
Yeah.
You guys know everything I know.
Okay.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Provided our listeners and viewers with the proper warning. Don't take anything we say too seriously. And I'll put a plug out there for my podcast, Lean to the Left, which this is part of, and I hope you guys check it out. Increasing numbers of subscribers on my YouTube, up to almost 3,500 subscribers now, which is a big jump. And I want to put a plug in there for Robert's Goddamn Liberals podcast. Tell us a little bit about it, Robert.
Yeah, mostly I've been with you guys monthly, but I did have a recent episode I did with a friend that he wrote a memoir, I guess you would call it, Blowing Up Gay. And so that episode's out there. If you want to check that out, he he was more patient than I am to actually sit down and write the book. So maybe one day I'll have that same patience.
Okay. I want to also call attention to the fact that this, I think it was late January, was the 50th anniversary of the treaty that really ended the U.S. participation in the Vietnam War. I have two episodes on Lean to the Left commemorating that. One is with a historian by the name of Bob Buzenko, who is a wonderful resource of information about military activities. Interviewed him about the Ukraine war with Russia shortly after it started. I think it was last March. And then just posted the interview with him, putting into perspective the Vietnam War and the aftermath of it, how it came to a conclusion. And then I interviewed another guy named Robin Bartlett, who at age 22 was a combat platoon leader, helicopters. And he talks in this episode about how it was that he came face to face with the enemy and what he did. On one occasion, he shot the guy. On the other occasion, he turned around and took off. And he didn't mind explaining why he did that and what he did. He talked about how it was his job as he was an officer. He was a first lieutenant. He was in command of 32 members of his platoon, that he had to be responsible for when they went into a fight and into combat. And he talked about how it was his job to fill out the death card of these young men who were killed, noting the location, the precise location of it, the time, the date, etc., on a 3x5 index card. It was also his job to wrap the body and prepare it for being sent home. Think about that. 22 years old, this guy had to do that. And he's now in his 70s, and he's still teared up when he talked about it in my interview. If you guys get a chance, I just want to put in a plug. It's a really good, both of them, really good episodes. And if you are someone who lived through the Vietnam War as we did, as Arthur and I did, Robert's too young, it will be of interest to you, I think. So anyhow, that's it for me. Anybody else got anything?
Nope, looking forward to next time.
Okay, all right. So you guys hang in there. Thanks for being with us, and we'll be back at you. All right, well, I'll be right back after these closing comments, so stay tuned. Hey guys, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this podcast and that you'll come back on a regular basis and check out our interviews with guests on topics that I hope you find interesting, entertaining, and enlightening. Our episodes stream weekly, every Monday. Let your friends know about this podcast and take a minute to subscribe. Just go to podcast.leantotheleft.net to subscribe. Check out the upcoming interview schedule and listen to all of our episodes. And follow us on social media, Facebook at the Lean to the Left Podcast, Twitter at Lean to the Left One, Instagram at @BobGaddy_LeanToTheLeft, and TikTok at Lean to the Left. And you can watch the episodes at YouTube at Lean to the Left. And don't forget to visit our blog site, leantotheleft.net, where you'll find commentary on the news by some excellent writers with progressive perspectives on a whole range of topics. You can sign up as a member there, and of course, it's all free.
Now, this is Bob Gatti signing off for Lean to the Left. Thanks for sharing your time with us.